Coffee Break German, Season 2, Episode 30. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Coffee Break German. Ich bin Marc.
Und ich bin Andrea.
Und wir sind sehr froh, hier zu sein.
Ja, genau.
Once more for another episode of Coffee Break German. This is Lesson 30 and we are doing something of a review. A review of what we've been learning in the past 9 lessons from 21 up to 29. And I don't know about you, but I think this is some really tricky but really interesting stuff.
Yes, it's been demanding.
Quite a journey.
Yes, yes.
So, wie geht's dir, Andrea?
Mir geht es super. Und dir?
Ja, nicht so schlecht. Mein Kopf tut mir nicht so weh.
Aha, das ist gut.
I think the Wechselpräposition in last week gave me a little bit of a sore head to work them all out.
But I'm sure you remember them all today. I will be testing you.
I look forward to that. As we've explained, this lesson is a review and we're going to be covering quickly all the topics that we've already covered
yes.
between lessons 21 to 29 with some further examples, I assume.
Yes.
Good. Okay, let's get started then.
Bist du bereit?
Ich bin bereit.
Los geht's. Ja, Marc, heute müssen wir mal alles wiederholen, was wir in den letzten Lektionen lernen durften. Unsere Zuhörer und Zuhörerinnen mussten sich ja richtig anstrengen. Wir haben viele Themen angeschaut.
Okay, just hold it there. Can you go through that again and I'll just make sure I've understood all of this.
Heute müssten wir mal alles wiederholen, was wir in den letzten Lektionen lernen durften.
So, today we've got to once again repeat everything that we have in the last lessons been able to learn.
Been able to learn. The literal translation would be been allowed to learn. And that for us in a German speaker, that's how we would say this.
Yes. Okay. Go on to the next part.
Unsere Zuhörer und Zuhörerinnen mussten sich ja richtig anstrengen.
Anstrengen is
to make an effort.
Ah, right. Okay. And so there we've got a reflexive verb. I see what you're doing here. You've got lots of different things we've covered. We've talked about modals there.
Yeah.
So our listeners really need to make an effort.
Had to make an effort.
Oh, had to make,
mussten,
of course.
Yeah.
In the past 20, mm-hmm, in the past mm-hmm. 9 lessons.
Wir haben viele Themen angeschaut.
Right, so we've looked at lots of different topics and there we've got a perfect tense.
Yes, so do you remember the topics?
Some
or
of them.
Should I give you...
Give us a review. Okay. Auf Deutsch.
Auf Deutsch, natürlich. Modalverben in der Vergangenheit.
So modal verbs in the past.
Nebensätze mit als.
Nebensätze are
subordinate clauses
with als, okay.
Possessivpronomen.
Possessive pronouns.
Vokabular für Familienmitglieder.
So is that the vocabulary for the words for family members?
Yes. Reflexive Verben im Präsens und im Perfekt.
Reflexive verbs in the present and the perfect.
Die Reihenfolge der Adverbien in der Verbklammer.
Is the Reihenfolge word order?
Yeah.
Okay, so the word order of adverbs in the verb klammer.
Yeah, I think this was your favorite topic.
Yeah,
yes?
Undoubtedly.
Sollen und sollte.
So the two words sollen mm-hmm. and sollte used differently.
Relativsätze und zu guter Letzt die Wechselpräpositionen.
So we had relative clauses uh-huh. and then, what did you say?
Zu guter Letzt. Last but not least.
Ah, that's nice. Zu guter Letzt. What does Letzt mean?
At the end.
At the end. Okay, so as the good ending or
yes.
something like that.
Yes.
Die Wechselpräpositionen. So these prepositions which sometimes take the dative and sometimes take
yes.
the accusative.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Andrea, I assume that we're now going to go back through and give a quick review
yes,
of
exactly.
these different topics. So let's go back and start with modal verbs, I think.
Yes. So we looked at modal verbs in the past. And the modal verbs are müssen, dürfen, können, to describe rules and regulations. And we use them in the past.
Okay.
And in order to do this, we used subordinate clauses starting with als. So als is a word that is when, but in the
past. But in the past, yep, mm-hmm. I remember that. So when I was younger or when I was 17 and so on.
Yes, and we use als for mm-hmm. when. And also we used some adverbs of time, such as früher,
in the past,
vor 10 Jahren, 10 years ago, im 19. Jahrhundert.
In the 19th century.
And so on.
Okay, what about giving us a couple of examples?
Genau. Als ich 10 war, musste ich täglich Hausaufgaben machen.
So when I was 10, I had to do homework every day.
Ja, genau, super.
Okay.
Vor 1000 Jahren konnten die Leute nicht fernsehen.
So we have to be careful with that one because we immediately think of for 1000 years, but it's not 1000 years, it's 1000 years ago.
Genau.
So 1000 years ago, people couldn't watch television.
Genau.
Okay.
Now I have a few questions for you, Mark.
Bitte schön.
Konntest du schon gut Klavier spielen, als du ein Kind warst?
Also, als ich vielleicht 10 oder 12 war, konnte ich schon gut Klavier spielen.
Super. Mussten die Schüler vor 20 Jahren in Schottland eine Uniform tragen?
Okay, vor 20 Jahren mussten die Schüler eine Uniform tragen.
Ah.
Ja, oder in Schottland, ja.
Ja, in Schottland, in der Schweiz nicht.
Okay.
Was konntest du früher gut, aber jetzt nicht mehr so gut?
Okay, also ich konnte Portugiesisch sprechen. Früher konnte ich Portugiesisch sprechen, aber jetzt kann ich nicht mehr.
Ah, jetzt nicht mehr. Schade.
Ja, das ist schade. Ich muss mein Portugiesisch üben.
Du brauchst Coffee Break Portugiesisch.
Vielleicht ein Tag, ja. Okay, so that was our modal verbs. Let's move on to another topic.
Genau, so die Possessive Pronomen. Und Familienmitglieder, so possessive pronouns and family members.
Okay, and we're also thinking about the different cases that, that these are in.
Yes, so we looked at what we call relatives, which are not siblings or parents, because we know the words for siblings and parents.
Yeah.
And I will now describe my family for a bit of review.
Okay, and perhaps if you can do this in quite quick German, and then we can go through the sentences in more detail.
Meine Eltern heißen Hans und Anneliese. Sie wohnen in der Schweiz. Mein Bruder heißt Stefan. Er ist verheiratet mit Palina, meiner Schwägerin. Da ich keine weiteren Geschwister habe, habe ich keinen Schwager. Aber mein Mann hat einen Schwager, den Bruder seiner Frau. Seine Eltern, also meine Schwiegereltern, wohnen in Schottland. Er und ich haben beide keine Großeltern, dafür einige Tanten und Onkel und natürlich Cousinen und Cousins. Ich bin selbst Tante und habe einen Neffen und zwei Nichten. Mein Mann ist ihr Onkel.
Lots of information there about your family. Shall we go through this quickly and I'll try to translate it?
Ja. So, meine Eltern heißen Hans und Anneliese.
So your parents are called Hans and Anneliese.
Sie wohnen in der Schweiz.
They live in Switzerland.
Mein Bruder heißt Stefan.
My brother is called Stefan.
Er ist verheiratet mit Palina.
So he is married to Palina.
Meiner Schwägerin.
So she is your sister-in-law.
Da ich keine weiteren Geschwister habe, habe ich keinen Schwager.
So since you have no other brothers and sisters, you don't have other in-laws.
A brother-in-law. Schwager is a brother-in-law.
Of course, yeah.
Aber mein Mann hat einen Schwager.
But your husband has a brother-in-law.
Den Bruder seiner Frau.
The brother of his wife.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's getting complicated.
Yeah, I know. So mein Bruder ist sein Schwager. Huh? So my brother is his brother-in-law. Seine Eltern, also meine Schwiegereltern, wohnen in Schottland.
So his parents, which are your in-laws, live in Scotland.
Er und ich haben beide keine Großeltern.
He and I have both no grandparents.
Dafür einige Tanten und Onkel und natürlich Cousinen und Cousins.
The dafür bit there?
Instead.
Instead, okay. Instead you have some aunts and uncles and naturally some male and female cousins.
Genau. Ich bin selbst Tante und habe einen Neffen und zwei Nichten.
So you're an aunt yourself and you have a nephew and two nieces.
Ja. Mein Mann ist ihr Onkel.
So your husband is their uncle.
Genau. Sehr
okay.
Gut.
Lots of vocabulary there. Good to practice it. And again, it's quite tricky with all the different agreements of the possessive pronouns.
Yes.
Or the possessive adjectives there.
Yes. Shall we quickly look at these possessive pronouns or adjectives? People use both expressions to describe them.
Let's have a look then.
So we have mein, meine.
My.
Dein, deine.
Your.
Sein, seine.
His.
Ihr, ihre.
Her.
Unser, unsere.
Our.
Euer, eure.
Tricky one to say. Your plural.
Ja. Ihr, ihre.
Their.
Und ihr, ihre.
That was for the capitals, yeah?
Yes.
So that's your formal.
Genau.
Okay. Very good.
And of course, all these pronouns follow declination rules of the articles when we use accusative or dative. So
okay.
I'll give you an example. Ich habe meinem Onkel ein Buch gegeben.
So I gave a book to my uncle.
Genau, so it's a nice dative. Er hat es gelesen und dann an seinen Sohn weitergegeben.
So he read it and then gave it to his son.
Genau,
good.
Sehr gut.
Okay, right, I think that's enough for the possessive pronouns and the possessive adjectives and family members. Let's move on to the next topic, which I think was reflexive verbs.
Genau. So we have found out that some verbs in German are reflexive, like sich waschen, sich rasieren. So to wash oneself, mm-hmm. to shave oneself.
Yep, okay.
And that seems quite logical, no? But there are some reflexive verbs where it makes no sense really that they are reflexive.
Yeah.
For example, sich erinnern.
To remember.
Mm-hmm. Sich beeilen.
I have forgotten that one.
To hurry up.
Ah, okay, yep.
Sich entschuldigen.
That's to say sorry, to apologize.
Sich freuen.
That's when you're looking forward to something.
Genau. So these are reflexive. We just need to know that they are. We can look them up in the dictionary,
okay.
Et cetera.
Could we perhaps conjugate one of them just to remind us how the reflexive pronouns go?
Let's use sich erinnern.
Okay, can I try this?
Mm-hmm.
Ich erinnere mich.
Mm-hmm.
Du erinnerst dich.
Super.
Er erinnert sich.
Ja.
Sie erinnert sich.
Ja.
Wir erinnern.
Or erinnern.
Erinnern uns. Mhm. Ihr erinnert euch.
Ja, genau.
And then sie erinnern sich.
Genau, sehr gut.
So with that one, you drop the en at the end. It's just
yes,
n.
Yes.
So sie erinnern.
And erinnern.
Wir erinnern.
Ja, nicht erinnern, sondern erinnern.
Erinnern.
It's very difficult to say. Erinnern.
Erinnern.
So it's best if you don't really pronounce the R at the end. You just make a sound. Mm. So erinnern.
Erinnern.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
Right, so an example perhaps.
Ich erinnere mich sehr gut an die Feier letztes Jahr und freue mich auf die diesjährige Feier.
The Feier, the festival, the party.
A party,
okay,
yeah, celebration.
Right. So I remember very well last year's party, and I'm looking forward to this year's party.
Genau, sehr gut.
What's the word that you use for this year?
Diesjährig.
So is that like an adjective for this year?
Yes, and because it's die Feier, it's diesjährige.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. Can I just remind myself of one thing? Sich freuen an something. Is there some situation when you use sich freuen with a different preposition and it means something different?
So we have in our sentence here, we said, ich freue mich auf die diesjährige Feier. So sich freuen auf is to look forward to.
Yep.
Sich freuen Über, that's the one. Is to be happy about something.
Yes, I remember now. Okay.
I have an example.
Okay.
Karin freut sich über ihre gute Mathe-Note.
So she's not looking forward to her good marks. She's looking, she's happy about
it. Yes, she's already received a good mark and she's happy about it.
Okay, let's do some practice of this.
Yes, so I have some questions for you.
Okay.
Mark, freust du dich auf die Sommerferien?
Ja, ich freue mich auf die Sommerferien.
Worauf freust du dich besonders?
Worauf?
So, we have our verb, to look forward to.
Yep.
Ja, sich freuen auf. And worauf is my question? So, to what do you look forward to?
Right. So, could I just say, ich freue mich auf die Sonne?
Ja, sehr gut.
Okay,
super.
I'm looking forward to the sunshine.
Yes, genau. So, if we look at worauf, the wo signifies that we ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have, ich freue mich auf, worauf freust du dich?
Right, so it's nothing to do with where as
no,
such. Yeah, that's,
no,
it's
it might be confusing. The wo is actually what.
Right, okay.
Yeah?
To confuse us even more. Yeah,
yeah. So, but we can use it with other prepositions
right.
too. If we look at sich freuen über.
Yep, then
worüber yeah. freust du dich?
So, what are you happy about?
Yeah, genau.
Okay.
And if, so Karin would answer, for example, über meine gute Mathe-Note.
So she's happy about her good maths results.
Genau. And if we look at in, we would ask, worin?
Worin?
Yeah, worin?
So give us an example of that.
Worin kochst du Spaghetti?
Ah, so in what do
yeah.
you cook spaghetti?
Mm-hmm.
In salt water, in
yeah,
salted water.
Genau, in Salzwasser.
Okay, right.
And if we have an, woran erinnerst du dich gern?
So, kind of about what do you remember? Happily?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sich erinnern an
yeah.
etwas.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Could you say, ich erinnere mich an meine Jugend?
Ja, ich erinnere mich gern an meine Jugend.
So I enjoy remembering back
yes,
to my childhood.
Yes. And then we have für. Wofür interessierst du dich?
So is the expression interessieren sich für etwas.
Ja, genau.
So I'm interested in something.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you interested in?
Ja. Für Geografie.
Okay, so for in geography.
Ja.
Okay.
Genau.
Each time you're saying wo, but there's an R in some of these.
Yes, this is purely cosmetic because otherwise it would be wo an, wo in, and that sounds
right.
really odd for us. So we call a letter like this a Fugen, whatever letter it is, Fugen R. And a Fugen is the place where your tiles in the bathroom come together.
Okay.
And you put something in the middle.
Right.
You put this paste in the middle between your tiles so they come together.
Is that grout?
Yeah, genau.
So your R here is a grouting R.
Yeah.
I love it. So is that, why don't we do it with wofür?
Because für starts with the consonant.
Of course.
And we don't need it.
Okay.
Wofür already sounds good enough for us.
Fair enough. Okay. We've covered a number of things that we've looked at between lessons 21 and 29. I think we're going to take a short break just now, and then afterwards we'll look at Tecamolo, we'll look at relative clauses, and we'll look at the Wechselpräpositionen.
Ja, genau, Marc. Aber vergiss nicht, wir müssen noch zu Julia schalten.
That's quite right. We still need to speak to Julia. Julia's here for our final cultural correspondence section for Coffee Break German Season 2. We'll explain why at the end of this lesson. But Julia's coming up after the break.
Here at Coffee Break German, we want to help you turn your downtime into do time. Brauchst du mehr Übung? Join us on Facebook 3 times a week and put your German to work with our language challenges and cultural insights. As they say, practice makes perfect. Oder auf Deutsch, Übung macht den Meister. Head over to facebook.com/coffeebreakgerman. Wir sehen uns hoffentlich bald.
You're listening to Coffee Break German, and today we're taking a run through all of the topics that we've covered between lessons 21 and 29. However, we're also speaking to Julia. Julia, bist du da?
Hallo, ihr alle. Let's start with a little quiz today. Can you guess what the following names mean? Schneewittchen, Rotkäppchen, Dornröschen. Well, maybe when I say Rumpelstilzchen or Hänsel und Gretel, it gets a bit easier. Richtig! Today I would like to tell you about fairy tales and the Brothers Grimm. Did you know that the famous collectors of folk stories, the two brothers Jakob and Wilhelm Grimm, were German? They lived at the end of the 18th and beginning of the 19th century and became famous all over the world for their storybooks. Even though they themselves didn't invent stories such as Cinderella, Aschenputtel, or Snow White, Schneewittchen, they collected these German folk tales from people in their area in central Germany and were the first to write them down and publish them. Of course, they included their own specific way of writing, such as the commonly used Es war einmal, literally, there was one time, better known as Once Upon a Time. Unlike today, fairy tales weren't meant just for children, even though the first volumes were called children's tales. Back in 1812, when they were first published, people criticized them as they didn't regard them as suitable for children. So the two publishers changed the stories through the different editions. For example, they turned the wicked mother of the first edition in Snow White and Hansel and Gretel to a stepmother. Well, if you ask me, that doesn't seem to change a lot, and I still find the stories very scary for kids. Just think of a little girl being eaten by a wolf or two children being kidnapped by a cannibalistic witch. However, when we look at the vast number of Grimm's stories, there are more than 200, we might forget the fact that we have much more to be thankful for when it comes to the two brothers. Jakob and Wilhelm were not only interested in the old folk stories, but the German language itself. With their research about old Germanic languages, they founded the scientific field of Germanistik, German studies, and shaped studies of other languages as well. Jakob Grimm published a book that is still of high significance even today, Die Deutsche Grammatik, the German grammar, dealing with the rules but also the history and development of the German language. Together the brothers also published the Deutsches Wörterbuch, the German dictionary. I think these two historical German figures, so important to the German language, are the perfect way to end our cultural correspondence segments for this season. What do you think, Mark and Andrea?
Ja, da stimme ich zu. I totally agree. The Grimms have made a massive contribution, not only to my childhood with their stories, but also to my professional life with their Wörterbuch and essays on German language.
Absolutely. Now, as we said, this is Julia's final contribution as our cultural correspondent for this season of Coffee Break German.
Ach, schade.
I know. Es hat mir wirklich sehr viel Spaß gemacht.
Ja, Marc, mir auch. Die zweite Staffel von Coffee Break German hat mir sehr viel Spaß gemacht. I hope that our listeners have enjoyed the different cultural segments, and now they really have no excuse when it comes to knowing what to see, read, drink and eat when in a German-speaking country. I'm looking forward to being involved in more Coffee Break German projects in the future. Wir hören uns hoffentlich bald. Tschüss!
And the good news is that I am heading over to Berlin in a couple of weeks' time to work on a new project with Julia. Und ich freue mich sehr darüber.
Ja, sehr gut. Und du freust dich auch sehr darauf.
Darauf, ja. Yeah? Worauf freust du dich?
Ja, yeah, it's both. Yeah? Yeah, I'm happy about it and I look
looking forward to it. Okay, fantastic. Now, I think we should get back to our list of topics here.
Yes.
And we promised that we'd look next at Tecamolo.
Yeah, so, which I know is your favorite topic.
Absolutely. So what, first of all, does Tecamolo stand for?
So Tecamolo describes our word order of adverbs in the verb grammar. And te is for tempus, time. So it answers the question, when.
Yep.
Whereas ka answers the question, why, and it would stand for cause.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Mo would be mode, modus, and answers the question how. And lo for location answers the question where.
So as long as we are answering those questions in that order, even if they don't all appear in the sentence,
yes,
then we will have the correct order of our adverbs or adverbial phrases within our structure.
Yes, and I have an example.
Bitte schön.
Ich gehe morgen aus Langeweile mit dem Fahrrad zur Arbeit.
So tomorrow you're going out of boredom with the bicycle to work.
Yes.
Not a very good translation there from me.
But we have all four of tekamolo in there.
You've got time, when, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Aus Langeweile.
Why? Yeah. Through boredom.
Out of boredom, yep. Yeah. Mit dem Fahrrad.
How?
Zur Arbeit.
Where? To work. Okay.
Genau. Super.
Let's practice this.
So let's practice. And I have sentences with a gap.
Okay.
And then I give you adverbs or adverbial expressions, which you can put in the right order into this gap.
Okay, so let's hear the sentence with the gap first.
Franz trinkt Tee.
Okay, so we're filling the with some adverbs, yeah?
So, and our adverbs are wegen der Kälte, im Haus, im Winter.
Right, so we need to think once again when, why, how, and where in that order.
Mm-hmm.
So can I do this one? Franz trinkt im Winter wegen der Kälte im Haus Tee.
Ja, genau.
So
Franz trinkt im Winter
when
wegen der Kälte
why
im Haus
where
Tee.
So he's drinking tea at home in the winter against the cold.
Because of the cold.
Because of the cold. Vegan. Okay, because of the cold. Right. Okay, next one.
Okay. Tanja spielt Tennis.
And what are the mm-hmms?
Im Tennisclub. Jede Woche mit ihrer Mutter.
So once again, we're trying to think about the questions answering when, why, how, and where in that order. So when... Jede Woche.
Ja.
Why? We've not got one.
Mm-hmm.
How? With her mother.
Ja.
Where? Im Tennisclub.
Ja.
So Tanja spielt jede Woche mit ihrer Mutter im Tennisclub Tennis.
Ja, genau. Sehr gut. Super.
Let's do another one. I like these.
I now have a different type of exercise.
Okay.
I will give you a sentence and then I will give you one adverbial expression and I want you to put it into the right place.
Right, okay. Let's hear the expression.
So the expression is zu Fuß.
On foot.
And the sentence is, trotz des schlechten Wetters gehen wir heute Abend in die Disco.
Is that like saying, in spite of the bad weather?
Yeah.
We're going this evening to the disco and you need me to put in zu Fuß in there. So that's our how. So we've got have we got two hows here? What's the trotzdem des schlechten?
Trotz des schlechten Wetters ist K.
So that's the reason.
So it's, we've already taken it out of the verb klammer.
Uh-huh.
So you can ignore it.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a time and a place in here. So we've got a when and a where. So we simply need to put in the how before the where.
Yeah.
So, trotz des schlechten Wetters gehen wir heute Abend zu Fuß in die Disco.
Sehr gut, super.
That first part of the sentence there, Andrea, you said trotz des schlechten Wetters.
Yes.
There's something funny going on there.
It's a genitive. We haven't discussed this in Coffee Break 1 or 2.
Okay.
But it's something we can look at in Coffee
in a later
Break
date.
German.
3.
Whenever, in the future.
Yeah, okay. We'll come across that. But it's a little more rare than the other cases, I guess.
Yes, but it's the mark of a true... a proficient speaker.
Oh, right. Something to look forward to then. Okay.
Yes.
Let's do one more of these where we're trying to put in our additional adverb there.
Yes. So our additional adverb is mit 5 Minuten Verspätung.
Right.
And our sentence, 3 Uhr fährt der Zug nach Zürich auf Gleis 2 ab.
Right. So at 3 o'clock, the train to Zurich is leaving from platform 2.
Yeah.
And you need us to put in 5 minutes late with a yes. 5 minute delay.
Yes.
Right. So we need to think about when, we need to think about why, we need to think about how, and we need to think about where. So is the mit 5 Minuten Verspätung a how?
Ja, genau, sehr gut.
Right. So we've got a time, a when, 3 Uhr. Well, it's out of the verb grammar, isn't it?
Is out of the verb
yes,
grammar,
we don't
yeah.
need to worry about that one. So, der Zug nach Zürich, where auf Gleis 2. Right, so do we put 3 Uhr fährt der Zug nach Zürich mit 5 Minuten Verspätung auf Gleis 2 ab.
Sehr gut, bravo.
Oh, okay.
Well
tricky,
done.
Tricky stuff.
Ja, ja, aber sehr gut gemacht.
Dankeschön.
Well done.
Earlier, when we were talking about what we still had to look at, we kind of forgot to mention sollen and sollten. Can we have a very quick review of this, Andrea?
Yes. So, sollen is a modal verb.
Mm-hmm.
And we use it very often when we report what someone else said.
Mm-hmm.
What we should do.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for example, the doctor told me I should eat more vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you about this. Dann sage ich, der Arzt sagt, ich soll mehr Gemüse essen.
Right, so that's you been given an instruction by your doctor.
Yeah, so the doctor didn't use sollen.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor said to me, essen Sie mehr Gemüse.
Yep.
And I report to you, er sagte, ich soll mehr Gemüse essen.
Yeah, okay, das stimmt. Yeah?
We also use sollen when we report gossip, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I have an example about a neighbor, because okay. it's always good for gossip. Sie soll ein neues Auto gekauft haben.
Right, so there you're saying that apparently they've bought a new car.
Yes, so I'm not sure if it's true.
Uh-huh.
That's why I use sollen.
Okay.
Ja? Sie right. soll ein neues Auto gekauft haben.
Okay, but then when we talk about sollten,
mm-hmm.
that's different, yeah?
Yes, that's more for advice.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor could, for example, use sollten. If it's not an order, but more a sort of an advice.
Mm-hmm.
Sie sollten mehr Gemüse essen.
You really should eat yes. some more vegetables.
Yes.
And that sollten there, when we conjugate it, we're using, I think you said it's both the preteritum and the conditional
yes,
form.
Yes, they're both the same.
The same.
We wouldn't be able to distinguish them.
And when we use sollen as opposed to sollten, that's just the present tense.
Ja, genau.
Okay, there was one other use of sollen in the present that we also mentioned, and that was when we're making a suggestion.
Yes. So, for example, sollen wir heute ein Eis essen?
Gute Idee. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good idea. And there we're saying, should we get an ice cream today?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I think we'll leave sollen and sollten. Mm-hmm. There's not too much more to say about that, but there is a fair bit to say about relative clauses.
Yes. So, relative clauses, you have them in English. And they add more information about something you mentioned in your main clause.
Okay.
For example, ich besuche meinen Bruder, der in Japan wohnt.
So I'm visiting my brother who lives in Japan.
Yeah.
You don't need the lives in Japan bit. You can simply say you're visiting your brother, but that's giving extra information.
Exactly. And the relative clause begins with a pronoun. And the pronoun is one of our articles.
Mm-hmm.
So der, die, das, or die plural.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they also exist in different cases.
Of course.
So in accusative or dative. For example, ich besuche meinen Bruder, den ich seit 3 Jahren nicht gesehen habe.
So I'm visiting my brother, whom I have not seen for 3 years.
Yes.
Because that's the accusative.
Because he lives in Japan.
Yeah, of course.
And then, so that was the accusative. And in the dative, ich besuche meinen Bruder, dem ich gestern eine Nachricht auf dem Handy geschickt habe.
So there you're visiting your brother. Is that to whom?
Yeah.
Yesterday I sent a message on my mobile phone.
Yeah, genau.
Okay. So that one there is the dative. And that's dem ich is a masculine, so we use dem.
Yes.
As the relative pronoun.
Okay. Shall we make a couple of practice sentences?
Yeah, go on.
Philip eats the cake he made this morning.
So there, you've not even put a that or a which in there in English, which is important to remember because even though it's not there in English, we do need it in German. Yes. So Philip eats the cake that or which he which he made this morning. Philip isst den Kuchen, den heute Morgen gemacht hat.
Ja, genau, sehr gut, super.
Okay, try another one.
Ina buys the jacket she liked so much. And we use gefallen here.
Yeah, and that's going to change the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Ina kauft die Jacke, die ihr so gefallen hat.
Genau, so die Jacke becomes the subject in the subordinate clause, and that's why the sentence is in the nominative.
We'll take your word for it.
You know I'm right.
I know you're right. Okay, and our final topic that we've covered in this batch of lessons, a very interesting batch of lessons indeed, and that was what we did last time and our Wechselpräpositionen.
Yes. So we looked at some of the prepositions that tell us about location, and they are in, auf, unter, über, hinter, vor, zwischen, neben und an.
And these are the prepositions which can be followed by a dative or an accusative depending on the situation. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. And the rule is if we have a verb that says that we have a change of location, then we use an accusative with these prepositions. And if we don't have a change of location, then we use the dative with these prepositions. And I need to stress that this is the rule only for these prepositions.
Yep. So we did mention zu, for example, that doesn't fall into these rules.
Yes.
Okay. We did talk about this in quite some detail last time. Mm-hmm. So perhaps just a couple of examples will help.
Fritz geht morgen in die Schule.
So Fritz is going to school tomorrow.
Yeah. Fritz lernt in der Schule viel.
Fritz learns a lot in school. So there the difference is, in the first one, he is going to the school, therefore there is change of location involved, and therefore in that one, it is the accusative. And in the second example, he is learning in the school, there's no change of location, and that's why it's the dative with in.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, we just have time for a couple of translations here. So give us a translation from English into German, please, Andrea.
Natalie und Rüdiger like swimming in the lake.
Right, so they're not swimming from the river into the lake, they're just swimming in the lake, therefore we need to use the dative.
Yes.
And the dative would be, are we talking about sie or mehr?
Sie.
Sie, yeah. So Natalie und Rüdiger schwimmen gern in dem See.
Ja, und in dem ist im.
Im, okay.
Genau. Natalie und Rüdiger schwimmen gern im See.
Okay, let's have one more.
Doris has put the vase on the table. It looks good on the table.
Okay, what's a vase or a vase?
Die Vase.
Die Vase, okay. So that would be Doris hat die Vase auf den Tisch gestellt.
Okay. And it then, looks good on the table.
So when something looks good, is it, es sieht aus?
Ja, genau, es sieht aus.
So in this
but
case,
die Vase
die,
ist sie.
Yeah, so die Vase. Sie sieht gut aus. And when it's sitting on the table, that's when we need a dative. Therefore, it must be auf dem Tisch.
Super, ja. So, Doris hat die Vase auf den Tisch gestellt. Sie sieht gut aus auf dem Tisch.
Very good. Well, that is a marathon review of the content of lessons 21 to 29.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to leave this lesson. Now, of course, there's more practice on all of these issues, these topics in our bonus materials. And there is our bonus audio lesson, our notes and our video version for this lesson. And indeed, every other lesson of Coffee Break German, all 30 of them so far for this season. You can find them at coffeebreakgermanplus.com.
And let us know what you've enjoyed most about this section of Coffee Break German. We'd love to hear from you. Post a comment on the website. Or, of course, you can get in touch with us via social media. Look for Coffee Break German on Facebook. We are at Learn German on Twitter, and you can also follow at Coffee Break Languages on Instagram.
Now, we did mention earlier that something's going to be a little bit different for the remaining lessons. There are 10 lessons left of Coffee Break German Season 2. And what we're going to do is come up with a bit of a story for you, because we would like to put all the language that we've learned into practice. So starting from lesson 31, you're going to be enjoying episodes of a, call it a radio play, a story that you're going to follow. And of course, lots of the grammar and lots of the vocabulary and the constructions that we've learned will naturally come up in these episodes. That's going to be in a few weeks' time. We're taking a few weeks off to try to get it all organized and all put together, because there's quite a lot of speakers to bring into it. And I'm sure you'll recognize some of the voices involved in this story. But I think this will be a fantastic way to practice what you've learned so far, and also to increase your range of expression and your vocabulary yet further. That's coming up in a few weeks' time on Coffee Break German. For now, vielen Dank. Thank you very much indeed for sticking with us right through to lesson 30 and indeed to minute 41 of this episode. And bis zum nächsten Mal.
Bis bald.
You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2017 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2017 Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.